when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
Fans of the American musical will recognize that martial strain as the beginning of 1776, but today we are going to march, as it were, to a different drummer. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only NPR station. And I suppose today we should be coming to you from Philadelphia. We're not. We're still coming to you from my laundry room here in my guest room during quarantine, but there you are. Every July 4th for the last 9 years, I've been thrilled to play 1776 in some form or another. It's the first show I ever saw on Broadway, not in 1776, but in 1969, and I've always loved it. It's one of my favorites. Some years we alternate the album with an in-studio interview with William Daniels, the original John Adams, one of the great performances I ever saw. But today we're going to do something totally different. Today we're going to listen to the 1970 London West End cast album. Yes, there was a London production of 1776 while it was running concurrently on Broadway. And as my friend Bert Fink pointed out, it was billed as a new musical from the colonies. So that's what we're going to listen to today. The new musical from the colonies, 1776 in London. You would think that they wouldn't want that show there because there's so much trash talked about Britain and the King every 4 seconds. And it was a moderate hit. Ran about 168 performances. But let us go to this very, very rare British album, which I think is thrilling in so many ways.
Compromise here, oh, GS. No, many flies here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, for God's sake, John, sit down.
Good God, consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse. For no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're born. We've heard this before.
Dear God, for one solid year they've been sitting here, for one year, doing nothing. I do believe you've laid a curse on North America, a curse that we here now rehearse in Philadelphia. A second flood, a simple famine, plagues of locusts everywhere, or a cataclysmic earthquake, I'd accept with some despair. But no, you've sent us Congress. Good God, sir, was that fair? I say this with humility in Philadelphia, where your responsibility in Philadelphia. If you don't want to see us hanging on some far-off British hill, if you don't want the voice of independency forever still, then God, sir, get thee to it, for Congress never will. You see, we piddle, twiddle, and resolve. Not one damn thing do we solve. Piddle, twiddle, and resolve. Nothing's ever solved in foul, fetid, fuming, foggy, filthy Philadelphia.
Someone ought to open up a window.
Good God! They may sit here for years and years in Philadelphia. These indecisive grenadiers of Philadelphia, they can't agree on what is right or wrong or what is good or bad. I'm convinced the only purpose this Congress ever had was to gather here specifically to drive John Adams mad. You see, we piddle, twiddle, and resolve. Not one damn thing do we solve. Piddle, twiddle, and resolve. Nothing's ever solved in foul, fetid, fuming, foggy, filthy Philadelphia.
John, John, is that you carrying on, John?
Oh, Abigail. Abigail, I have such a desire to knock heads together.
I know, my dearest, I know. But that's because you make everything so complicated. It's all quite simple, really. Just tell the Congress to declare independency. Then sign your name, get out of there, and hurry home to me. Our children all have dysentery. Little Tom keeps turning blue. Little Abby has the measles, and I'm coming down with flu. They say we may get smallpox.
Madam, what else is new? Abigail, in my last letter, I asked you to organize the ladies and make saltpeter for gunpowder. Have you done as I asked?
I'm afraid we have a more urgent problem, John.
More urgent, madam?
There's one thing every woman's missed in Massachusetts Bay. Don't smirk at me, you egotist. Pay heed to what I say. We've gone from Framingham to Boston, and we cannot find a pin. Don't you know that there's a war on, says each tradesman with a grin. Well, we will not make saltpeter until you send us pins.
Pins, madam, saltpeter.
Pins.
Saltpeter.
Pins.
Saltpeter, saltpeter, Peter,
pins,
Peter,
pins,
Peter,
pins,
Peter,
pins.
Done, madam, done.
Done, John. Hurry home, John.
As soon as I'm able.
Don't stop writing, it's all I have.
Every day, my dearest friend.
Till then,
till then, I am. As I ever was and ever shall.
Now, isn't that exciting and interesting in its own way if you know the original 1776? That was Louis Feander, an Australian actor who had done some TV, playing the lead as John Adams. He may be no William Daniels, who could be, but I think he's pretty terrific in the role. So let us listen, go our way through the cast album of the London 1776 in their quest to bring themselves, wrench themselves free of England. The patriots in the Continental Congress realize they need some sort of document or some sort of support outside their northern brethren. So they go to Richard Henry Lee, a delegate from Virginia, hoping that they can get the support of the South. Here is David Morton as Richard Henry Lee and company from the London 1776.
My name is Richard Henry Lee, Virginia is my home. My name is Richard Henry Lee, Virginia is my home. And may my horses turn blue if I can't deliver up to you a resolution on independency. For I am FFB, the first family in the sovereign colony of Virginia. Yes, the FFB, the oldest family in the oldest colony in America. And may the British burn my land if I can't deliver to your hand a resolution of independency. You see, it's verily, verily, everywhere in the elite.
Social. Political, financial, natural, internal, external, fraternal, eternal,
the FFB, the first family in the sovereign colony of Virginia. And may my wife refuse my bed if I can't deliver a said resolution of independency.
Spoken modestly, God help us.
He will, John, he will.
They say that God in heaven is everybody's God.
Amen.
I'll admit that God in heaven is everybody's God. But I tell you, John, with pride, God leans a little on the side of the lees of old Virginia. You see, it's verily, verily, everywhere a lee, lee, verily, verily, everywhere a lee. Look out, there's Arthur Lee, Bobby Lee, General Light Horse Harry Lee, there's Jesse Lee, Willie Lee,
and Richard H.
That's me. And may my blood stop running blue if I can't deliver up to you a resolution on independency. Yes, sir, my God is here, really. Come on, boys, join in with me.
Here, really. When do you leave?
Immediately.
Here, really.
And we will go forward ho indeed through the London cast album from 1970 of 1776. Now, this is the kind of rarity that you only get on the show. I think that if you listen to, shall we say, some satellite stations that deal with Broadway, they will not, I'm not going to name names, but they don't seriously examine the canon of the American musical theater. So it'd be hard enough to find anything from the Broadway 1776, either the original or its revival or the film. But here on Broadway to Main Street, you even get the London cast album. It is one of the great, great rarities in the canon of show music. Well, Speaking of documents, well, we weren't speaking of documents. We will speak of documents. The John Adams and Ben Franklin realized that in order to push their cause of independence from Great Britain further, they need some sort of articulated document that would somehow pull together all their best thoughts and rationale for breaking from England. It's really in the show. It's kind of a way of killing time till they come up with a better idea. But here is the song about trying to get a commission together to write what will become the Declaration of Independence.
All right, gentlemen, let's get on with it. Which of us is going to write our Declaration on Independence?
Mr. Adams, I say you should write it. To your legal mind and brilliance we defer.
Is that so? Well, if I'm the one to do it, they'll run their quill pens through it. I'm obnoxious and disliked, you know that, sir.
Yes, I know.
Then I say you should write it, Franklin. Yes, you.
Hell no.
Yes, you, Dr. Franklin. You.
But.
You.
But.
You.
But. Mr. Adams. But, Mr. Adams. The things I write are only light extemporaneous. I won't put politics on paper, it's a mania. So I refuse to use the pen in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, refuse to use the pen.
Mr. Sherman, I say you should write it. You are never controversial, as it were.
That is.
Whereas if I'm the one to do it, they'll run their quill pens to it. I'm obnoxious and disliked, you know that, sir.
Yes, I do.
Then I say you should write it, Roger. Yes, you.
Good heavens, no.
Yes, you, Roger Sherman. You.
But,
you.
But,
you.
But.
Mr. Adams. But, Mr. Adams, I cannot write with any style or proper etiquette. I don't know a participle from a predicate. I am just a simple cobbler from Connecticut.
Connecticut, Connecticut, a simple cobbler he.
Mr. Livingston, maybe you should write it. You have many friends and you're a diplomat.
Oh, that word.
Whereas if I'm the one to do it, they'll run their quill pens through it.
He's obnoxious and disliked, did you know that?
I haven't heard.
Then I say you should write it, Robert. Yes, you.
Not me, Johnny.
Yes, you, Robert Livingston. You. You. You.
Adams, dear Mr. Adams, I've been presented with a new son by the noble storm. So I am going home to celebrate at Concord with all the Livingstons together back in old New York.
New York, New York, Livingston's going to pop a cork.
Well, Mr. Jefferson.
Mr. Adams, leave me alone.
Now, Mr. Jefferson,
will you be a patriot or a lover?
Lover.
No, but I burn, Mr. A.
So do I, Mr. J.
You?
You too?
John.
Who'd have thought it?
Mr. Jefferson? Dear Mr. Jefferson, I'm only 41, I still have my virility. And I can romp through Cupid's grove with great agility. But life is more than sexual combustibility.
Combustibility, combustibility, combustibility.
Now you write it, Mr. J.
Who will make me, Mr. A?
I!
You?
Yes!
How? By physical force, if necessary.
It's your duty! Damn it! It's your duty!
Mr. Adams! Damn you, Mr. Adams! You're obnoxious and disliked, that cannot be denied. Once again you stand between me and my lovely bride.
Lovely bride!
Oh, Mr. Adams, you are driving me to homicide!
Homicide! Homicide!
Mr. Jefferson, the choice is yours. Do as you like with it.
We may see.
I live like a nun in a cloister, solitary, celibate, I hate it.
I live like a monk in an abbey, ditto, ditto, I hate it.
Write to me with sentimental illusion. Let me revel in romantic illusion.
Do you still smell of vanilla and spring air? And is my favorite lover's pillow still firm and fair? We'll walk in Cupid's grove together, and we'll fondly survey
that promised land. Till then,
I am as I ever was and ever shall be.
That was Louis Feander as John Adams and Vivian Rose as Abigail Adams, his much-devoted wife, back in Massachusetts. I remember when I got the script to 1776. I bought it in Brentano's on Fifth Avenue. I don't know, I was 11 or 12 or something. I guess when the movie came out, they released it. And I loved that it said that the show is set in the chamber of the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia, a street in Philadelphia, and certain reaches of John Adams' mind. I love that. So he's thinking about Abigail Adams constantly in this regard. Well, the show does move to a little bit of outside where Adams and Franklin are desperately trying to get Thomas Jefferson to get on the ball and write the darn Declaration of Independence already, and they run into his wife, Martha, who Adams has sent up from Virginia to join Jefferson and hopefully spark some creative imaginings or some kind of imaginings at any rate. Here is the London version. You'll hear a little more music. You'll hear a dance break that was cut from the Broadway cast album. So we try to give you all these wonderful advantages here on Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW-FM. But in the meantime, let's hear Cheryl Kennedy talk about Thomas Jefferson's considerable charms.
Oh, he never speaks his passions, he never speaks his views. Whereas other men speak volumes, the man I love is mute. In truth, I can't recall being rude with words at all. Even now, he plays the violin, he tucks it right under his chin, and he bows. Oh, he bows, for he knows, yes, he knows that it's high, 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 diddle, diddle, twixt my heart, Tom and his fiddle, my strings are unstrung. High, 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 I am undone. I hear his violin, and I get that feeling within, and I sigh, oh, I sigh. He draws near, very near, and it's high, 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 diddle, diddle, and goodbye to the fiddle. My strings are unstrung. High, 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 I'm always undone.
Back in Congress, the more conservative members of that institution are more than happy to see Adams and Franklin go on a little trip to Maryland, and they take a breather, as it were, where they talk about their own philosophy, still somewhat provocatively pertinent today, I would say. One of the great things about this London album that I adore is they all do it in British accents, and you go, why are you doing it in British accents? Aren't they like American, like, well, my guess is, back in the day, in 1776, many of these members of Congress would have spoken with a strong British inflection, and it gives it a nice kind of snap, crack, crack, pop, crack, pop, and snap, whatever they had back then. Anyway, here is John Dickinson leading the conservative members of Congress in their ode to their way of life.
Say, do you see what I see? Congress sitting here in sweet serenity. I could cheer, the reason's clear, for the first time in a year. Adams isn't here, and look, the sun is in the sky. A breeze is blowing by, and there's not a single fly. I sing Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna,
and it's cool. Come ye cool, cool conservative men, our like may never ever be seen again. We have a land, cash in hand, self-command, future planned. Fortune thrives, society survives, in neatly ordered lives, with well-endowed wives.
Come sing Hosanna, Hosanna.
In our breeding and our manner, we are cool.
Come ye cool, cool, considerate set. We'll dance together to the same minuet. To the right, ever to the right, never to the left, forever to the right. Let our creed be never to exceed regulated speed, no matter what the need.
Come sing Hosanna, Hosanna.
Emblazon on our banner is keep cool.
What we do rationally.
We never ever go off half-cock, not we.
Why begin till we know that we can win?
And if we cannot win, why bother to begin? We say this game's not of our choosing. Why should we risk losing?
We cool, cool men.
Mr. Hancock, you're a man of property, one of us. Why don't you join us in our minuet? Why do you persist in dancing with Mr. Adams? Good Lord, sir, you don't even like him.
That is true. He annoys me quite a lot. But still I'd rather trot to Mr. Adams' new gavotte.
But why? For personal glory? For a place in history? Be careful, sir. History will brand Adams and his followers as traitors.
Traitors to what, Mr. Dickinson? The British crown or the British half-crown? Fortunately, there are not enough men of property in America to dictate policy.
Perhaps not, but don't forget that most people with nothing would rather protect the possibility of being rich than face the reality of being poor. And that is why they will follow us.
To the right, never to the right, never to the left, forever to the right. Where there's gold, our pocket that will hold. Tradition that is old, reluctance to be bold.
I sing Hosanna, Hosanna, in a sane and lucid manner. We are cool!
We're the cool, cool, considerate men, whose life may never, ever be seen again. With our land, cash in hand, self-command, future band. Tall grass nearby.
one of the great moving anti-war songs in Broadway history. Remember, the show originally opened up in the thick of the Vietnam War, so that song made a deep impression on audiences. They certainly did in 1970. We're listening to the London cast album, and in the London production on the West End, that is where the curtain fell to end Act One, although the New York production never had an intermission, at least in its original incarnation. See, these are the facts that we give you here at Broadway to Main Street. I want to take a moment because we're in the thick of a fundraising drive here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, and I'd like to ask for your support for the station. You may know we have a new call number. We have a new, much larger, much more efficient organization up island, and this is a good time to show your support for what we do on this program and what we do on the station, which is Long Island's only NPR station. I've come to you every Sunday at 3 o'clock now for 9 years, and I give you some really, I think, compelling programming about the history of Broadway, Broadway tunes, Hollywood, American musical theater. It's the kind of programming you will not get anywhere else on your dial. So it's really important that you step up and show your support for WLIW, show your support for the show, become a member, join our much larger pool, our much larger programming, and take the journey forward. So you can go online to wliw.org/radiomatch, that's one word, or call 800-262-0717. That's 1-800-262-0717. Become a member of WLIW. I think you'll be glad you did. Well, let us go back to 1776, or more specifically 1970, at the New Theater in London's West End, and we'll hear The Egg, which is probably the signal song in the show that tells you what it's about. It was originally written in New Haven, I think, during a blizzard, and they were kind of stuck with trying to clarify what the show is about, and I think they do it wonderfully. Here from the London cast are Louis Feander, Ronald Radd, and John Quentin to sing about how we will burst forth from the British Empire.
It's a masterpiece, I say. They will cheer every word, every letter. I wish I felt that way.
I believe I can put it better. Now then attend, as friend to friend, our declaration committee. For us I see immortality in Philadelphia city. A farmer, a lawyer, and a sage. A bit gouty in the leg. You know, it's quite bizarre to think that here we are, playing midwives to an egg.
Egg? What egg?
America, the birth of a new nation. We're waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp of an eaglet being born. Waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator. God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone, let alone an egg.
We're waiting for the
scratch, scratch, scratch of that tiny little fellow. Waiting for the egg to hatch on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator.
God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone, but will it hatch an egg? The eagle's going to crack the shell of the egg that England laid.
Yes, so we can tell on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator. And just as Tom here has written, though the shell may belong to Great Britain, the eagle inside belongs to us. And just as Tom here has written, we say to hell with Great Britain, the eagle inside belongs to us.
One of the great things about the American musical is it uses song and setting and characterization and all sorts of things to provide a metaphor for what's happening or what was happening at the time in which these shows were written. Something like South Pacific would be a good example. But here's an amazing example from 1776. Edward Rutledge is a delegate from South Carolina who believes that freeing the slaves that work, especially the toil down south, would ruin the economy and be a ridiculous thing to do if you were going to be a new nation. And a lot of what he sings about in the song are still sadly pertinent today. It was a trailblazing moment in the American theater. Here's David Kernan, who some people may recognize from the side, I guess about 4 years later, he did Side by Side by Sondheim on the West End, singing one of the most extraordinary songs from the score of 1776.
Molasses rum to slaves. Oh, what a beautiful waltz. You dance with us, we dance with you, in molasses and rum and slaves. We sail the ships out of Boston, laden with Bibles and rum. Who drinks a toast to the Ivory Coast? Hail Africa, the slavers have come. New England with Bibles and the rum. Then it's on with the rum and the Bibles. Take on the slaves, clink, clink. Then it's hail and farewell to the smell of the African coast. Molasses to rum to slaves. Tisn't morals, tis money that saves. Shall we dance to the sound of that profitable pound in molasses and rum and slaves? Sail the ships out of Guinea, laden with Bibles and slaves. Tis Boston can boast to the West Indies coast. Jamaica, we've brung what she craves. Antigua, Barbados, we brung Bibles and slaves. Gentlemen, you mustn't think our northern friends merely see our black slaves as figures on a ledger. Oh, no, sir. They see them as figures on the block. Notice the faces at the auctions, gentlemen. White faces, New England faces on African wharfs. Put them in the ships. Cram them in the ships. Stuff them in the ships. Hurry, gentlemen. Let the auction begin. Yaha, yaha, Makwanda. Gentlemen, do you hear? That's the cry of the auctioneer. Yaha, yaha, Makwanda. Slaves, gentlemen. Black gold, living gold, gold from Angola, Guinea, Guinea, Guinea. Blackbirds for sale, Ashanti, Iba, 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 Iba. Blackbirds for sale, fond of them, fond of them. But don't finger them, they're prime, they're prime.
For the love of God, Mr. Rutledge, please.
Molasses to rum, to slaves, who sail the ships back to Boston, laden with gold, see it gleam, whose fortunes are made in the triangle trade. Hail slavery, the New England dream.
Mr. Adams, I give you a toast. Hail Boston, hail Charleston. Who stinketh?
Mama!
Mr. Adams!
What?
These be for you.
Just a moment. What are they? What's in them? Who sent them?
Compliment to the Concord Ladies Coffee Club and the Sisterhood.
sewing circle, and the holy Christian sisters of St. Clair. All for you, John, I am, as I ever was and ever shall be. Yours, 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 yours.
Just a moment, Abigail. What's in those kegs?
Those of you who treasure the original Broadway cast album may wonder, where did that come from? Well, the London album adds a little bit of song and dance here and there that you didn't hear on the cast album from America. That was Vivian Ross as Abigail Adams. Well, we get to the 11th hour in 1776, where John Adams is desolate. Everyone has left him. Everyone has left the cause for independence. And he seems to be the only one, certainly the only one in the chamber of the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia, who can still sustain his vision with commitment. Here is Louis Feander.
Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see? They want me to quit. They say, John, give up the fight. Still to England I say, good night, forever good night. For I have crossed the Rubicon. Let the bridge be burned behind me. Come what may, come what may. Commitment! The croakers all say will rue the day. There'll be hell to pay in fiery purgatory. Through all the gloom, through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see? I see fireworks. I see the pageant and pomp and parade. I hear the bells ringing out. I hear the cannons roar. I see Americans, all Americans free.
Chamber is. How silent the chamber is. Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see?
Well, most of us know that the story of 1776 winds up just fine. But that was one of the great things about the show. It really kept you on the edge of your seat until the very final moments to see if America would declare independence from Great Britain. It's a great show, 1776. They're thinking of reviving it, or they would have revived it. Hopefully they'll do it soon in a rather controversial version. I think the show holds a mirror up to what we are as Americans, good, bad, and in between. So it's still a provocative and compelling show. Thanks for listening to the London Cast album with me. And please, if you get a chance, become a member of WLIWFM. You'll be glad you did. Here is the finale to 1776. This is Lawrence Maslon signing off. Get it? Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks.
Mr. Secretary, is the declaration ready to be signed?
It is.
New Hampshire, Dr. Josiah Bartlett. Massachusetts, Mr. John Adams. Rhode Island, Mr. Stephen Hopkins. Connecticut, Mr. Roger Sherman. New York, Mr. Lewis Morris. New Jersey, the Reverend John Witherspoon. Pennsylvania, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. Delaware, Mr. Caesar Rodney. Maryland, Mr. Samuel Chase. Virginia, Mr. Thomas Jefferson. North Carolina, Mr. Joseph Hughes. South Carolina, Mr. Edward Rutledge. Georgia, Dr. Lyman Hall.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.